for my studies. You have been so helpful, so loving to me. And to me, I see that as God's preparation for the ministry today. And then, as a result, in 2017, January 15, I was consecrated and enthroned as the bishop of the Diocese of Kajukeji. And that marks when Bishop Anthony got the new role in the office of the Archbishop in Lambeth Palace as advisor to the Archbishop Justin in Anglican Communion Affairs. So the place left vacant, and then I was elected and I was consecrated. And I see that one as preparation, you know, the year that I came here. And it is through your prayer. I can count that as you have participated, because you have been praying for me. You had supported me when I was studying here, and even supporting my family, Cecilia, who she has sent even greetings to you. Thank you.
And so you were consecrated on the 15th of January.
Yeah.
And obviously things that, you know, lot of things have happened since then. So what is this, what happened, and what's the situation?
When I was consecrated, and then I took only 5 years, 6 days. And then all people in Kajukeji moved away, except in the southern part, western part of Kajukeji, where there are internally displaced people. So this happens because of three things. One, there is what we call IO, who are SPLA in opposition. They have gone as opposition and they are empty group. And it happens that some of these people came to Kajukeji. And they keep on warning, you people, leave Kajukeji because we are going to attack the government garrison. So once the government garrison is attacked, always the army displays their anger to the civilians. And they torture the civilians, they kill the civilians, and sometimes looting. So the SPLA in opposition, who are loyal to Dr. Riek Machar, keep on warning people, people move out, otherwise you will be responsible for your death. And then the government also in turn, because most of the people, the IOs, some of them are children from Kajukeji there, three quarters. And then they say, all of you in Kajukeji, you are IOs. One day, what happens in Bahar El Ghazal and Upper Nile?
The IO are the rebels, aren't they?
Yes,
they are the rebels. So they accuse the people of Kajukeji.
Yes, so the government accused the people of Kajukeji as being rebels. So this now brings tension. Then finally, one day they crash. Near our office there, I think Andrea knows where the office is, in a small town called Mandikolok. And then they kill brutal killing. They attack the oppositions, who are the rebels. And then when they were coming back, they kill one of the catechists, who is Roman catechist. And then they also kill a woman. They rape this woman and shot her in a private part, burned the grass around. The woman was burnt. And then also a layman who was being carried, also shot from here. So all these things, about six people were killed. So this becomes tragedy. And then this become a practical thing they had been saying. So with that, people opted to go that, it has come now. What they had been saying, we better move. So that happens after 5 days, that shooting. And then all people fled to the refugee. And I found myself, we were left there, no way out. We have to go, because I said, God has not called us to take care of the buildings and the trees. No, I was called to serve the people. So and then we moved. We took some of the things, but we could not take them all. And on our way, when we were planning to take the rest of the things, they then say, you will be responsible if you go back. And the government also say, you are double dealers. So we stop in Moyo. We happen to open our office in Moyo district, which is neighboring Kajukeji.
And that's in Uganda, isn't it? Now so that's in North Uganda.
Yeah, we are in North Uganda. And we have displaced people in Liwolo, our area diocese. And there are about 20 to 25,000 who are in the IDP. And we had been struggling to bring food to them. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the government accused us that, Bishop, we are feeding the opposition, we are feeding the rebels. But we say, no, this is our mandate according to Matthew 25, verse 35 up to 40, that when I'm hungry, you give me food. When I'm thirsty, you give me water. So why do we leave these people to die? Young people, old age, and those who are breastfeeding. So we took risk of taking the food. Luckily enough, we have contact with the government of Uganda. We have built a diplomatic relationship with the local government of Uganda, with the Bishop of Madian West Nile Diocese, and then also with the primate of Uganda, Bishop Stanley. So we have a good relationship. They gave us mandate to serve in the refugee camps, and that one gives us also mandate to get to buy food and penetrate to back South Sudan in Kajukeji, because the internal displaced are in Luolo and they are in Kajukeji there, so we have to take food there. So that become also, we risk ourselves to do that, and I think through your prayers, although they were accusing me, some of them give my name in the blacklist that if I go to Juba, I have to be arrested, my passport will be taken out. But I think through the prayers of the faithful one in the world, I go and then I come back from Juba, because some of the people also, there are some organizations I'm trying to also reach to them if they could support us. But the problem, when they supported, the government stopped. They don't allow the food to cross through the other way. And also there is no route from Juba to Kajukeji. So we thank God, because once in a while, GZB come in, they give us some money, and then we bought some money, some food, and take to the refugee. So now there are people who are moving back, because the situation, according to the ceasefire given recently, because these people are discussing about peace, although they ended the day before yesterday, but they give us a corridor, because they signed that food should be taken to wherever people are, whether in the government-controlled area or in the opposition-controlled area, in the rebel-controlled area. So now, one of the tasks I'm thinking, and you need to pray for us, is if I go from here, I have to go to Kajukeji, because I went there before Christmas. I mean, after Christmas, and I have built relationship with the military commander there for the government. And for the IO, one of the role also we are doing is to be as neutral, because we are also playing peace building. We talk to the rebels in Kampala, there are some leaders there. We talk to the government also within Kajukeji, who are now controlling. So after Christmas, we have built a good relationship with the government troops. And if I go from here, I have to go back to Kajukeji, although the solars were removed. The mattresses are stolen, and everything inside the house where I'm going to stay, Bishop's house. Because when I was consecrated, I took only those days I was about to move. I moved there, leave my place, and then within, I think, 5 days, I lived in that house for 5 days. And then we left. So this is the task, and we need to pray for that, because it takes heart, it takes risk. We need to. But as a leader also, we have to do that. So that's an area where we need to pray for.
So some people are starting to go back because of the ceasefire. Yeah. You're returning home on the 28th. Yeah. So what are your priorities, or what do you think are the priorities of the church under your leadership? And what can we be praying for you, and thinking about how through CRESS and by what we do here, we can support you in your priorities?
Well, yes, after going from here, as I said, I'm going to go back. In a week, I try to balance my day. 2 days I will be in Kajukeji, and then 3 days I will come back to Moyo in order to maybe give report and inform people outside to pray for us. Because I have also to take care of those who are going back. Because if I'm there, the army commander, I think as we build relationship, they will not plan to do something bad to people who are returning. And while in the refugee camps also, we have to also see, there are problems which we have identified. When we went to Uganda, what we identify is trauma is very high, because people lose their property, they have their dead one, and they are taken care of. And our priority actually is education, because all children moved and there was no education. Kajukeji has about 100 primary schools. All these people moved out, and they remain without education completely. The first time I went for my pastoral, I announced that, please, if you are a teacher among this community of refugees, get up, gather the children together, start education, don't wait for the UN. So with that, we are able to persuade the community and those who are teachers to at least start schools under the tree. And we have about 11 schools. One is secondary school, 10 is primary schools. And we are struggling on the issue of the curriculum books, teaching books, and also the teachers to be supported, because he offered to go for the whole day to teach, and he will do nothing for himself. So we are thinking if at least we could get 100,000 Ugandan shillings, which is like £20 or £25, but the teacher, this will push him at least from the beginning of the month and go ahead. And the other priority is women. Women takes a lot of responsibility. They take care of the children who are orphans. Some of the women take care of the orphans with their children. And I'm thinking we need also to empower women so that at least they participate and raise something for the family, and they teach the children in a good way, and that is the future of the nation. If they are brought up in the Christian way, we will prepare a better future of the people of South Sudan and better leadership. And that can only be done by women who are taking care every day. They take care of the children at the family. So we empower them, we give them skill, we teach them how to care children in the Christian way so that we prepare a better leaders for the future of South Sudan. So our priority is education and then empowerment. Empowerment also with skill training to the both youth, because the youth are also interfering. They are going to do bad things, drug addict, alcoholism, and then bad behaviors because of idleness. And we are thinking on, we may need to have maybe a workshop for skill training so that we engage them. Because our fight is not the tribe. We know that our enemy is ignorant. Our enemy is this ignorance is there, education, lack of education, and poverty, and corruption. So if we don't prepare children for today, for tomorrow, we will still have the same South Sudan with the bad behavior. So this is our priority, and I'm looking forward to. If you want to pray, please, you can pray for us on that area.
We will pray for you. Before we say the piece, before you share the piece with us,
yes.
What we'll do is what we did last week. We'll share the piece, and as we share those words together of the piece, when we come to the "and also with you," we will think of our brothers and sisters in South Sudan and Uganda. Yes. And the bishop will say those words. And I just wanted to say, do you have a final message for St. James before you lead us through the piece and our communion?
Yes, my final message to you is actually appreciation, because you have been so loving. You have been supporting us even with the clinic in the Wolo. You have been supporting our women with the bicycle, because we trained them as counselors, and now the women leader, we call zone leaders, they can write to wherever they get a problem and do some
support. So zones within the camps, isn't it?
Yeah, in the camps, yeah. So I appreciate, and I also thank you for your prayer. Since I had been here, you were helping me, even practically with some money when I was here in education. You support my family, and you have prepared me for this task. And I want to thank you and register my sincere. Even my wife, she called me this morning. She said, let me pass greetings to you. And she is with us in spirit, and he loves you also, and we love you. And we will continue to pray, and I think this link, we will continue to pray to each other. Thank you.
Can we pray especially for you, Bishop?
Because
you
please.
Have this huge responsibility that you don't carry alone.
Yeah.
You carry with God's spirit in you and God's truth in you.
Yeah.
And we want to pray that for you now as you go return home.
Yeah.
We thank you for you in the position that you hold. Dear Lord, we thank you for Emmanuel. We pray that in all that he does as Bishop of Kanjikenji, he will know your presence, he will know your love, bring him always at the start of each day into your presence. Give him wisdom when dealing with the many difficult situations that he deals with. Give him your words when he speaks to the government military, when he speaks to the rebel forces. Give him time to sit in your presence and know your love. Give him time for his family. We pray especially for his protection on those times when he was planning to return for 2 days a week to Kajikeji. We recognize that that is difficult and dangerous. And we ask for your shield of protection upon him. Yes. And we pray for those that work with the bishop to bring hope and peace and your good news into the lives of the many people, both displaced in Kajikeji and in the camps in Uganda. And as Juliet prayed earlier, Lord, we pray for your peace and for real peace to come to Kajikeji, to that fledgling state. We ask for peace and a rebuilding of that state. We ask for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.